On Monday morning, Mercury will cross in front of the sun like a tiny speck of dust floating across the sun's face. So let's turn our telescope now to Kelly Beattie, senior editor at Sky and Telescope. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Jeremy.
So this is pretty rare.
It's somewhat rare. It's not uncommon. The last one was in 2016, but the next one won't be until 2032. So, yes, we want to take advantage of this one if we can.
And what exactly is happening that makes Mercury cross in front of the sun to our eyes?
Yeah, you know, Mercury circles the sun in 88 days, so you think this would happen all the time. But its orbit is tipped with respect to ours by 7 degrees. So the geometry has to be right for this to sync up. And these transits, as we call them, can only happen in May and November. So we've got this one lined up, and it's allowing us to watch Mercury as a silhouette. See, it will be passing between us and the sun, and it's not going to be visible by eye.
Because you shouldn't look at the sun.
Well, I was going to say, we don't want you looking at the sun anyway. This is the kind of thing that you're going to need a decent backyard telescope to see.
So who's going to be able to see it?
This will be visible all across the United States. And in fact, on the East Coast, we'll see the entire 5.5-hour event. That's how long it takes Mercury to, you know, crawl across the face of the sun. On the West Coast, the sun will rise with Mercury already part of the way across. And I mentioned the next one being 2032. The next time this happens with the U.S. in view of it will be 2049. That's 30 years from now. Wow. So I think we should take advantage of this one while we
can. So how do people do that? How can our listeners actually watch this happen?
Yeah, I don't want you dragging that dusty telescope out of your closet that you haven't used for 10 years and try to do this. If you are going to use a telescope, you need a safe solar filter across the front of it. And those you might have left over from the eclipse of the sun that happened, you know, 3 years ago. But another way to do it is to take that telescope and to not look through it, but let the light from the sun stream through the eyepiece and onto a white card placed where your eye would otherwise be. And you get a really nice white disk of the sun that should be able to pick up Mercury. You can even do this with binoculars if you mount them on top of a camera tripod and just let one side go through.
I can just imagine somebody trying to do this and saying, I can't tell. Is that it? Am I looking at the right thing?
Ordinarily, it would be challenging because the sun would be full of spots itself, all of which are about the size of Mercury or even bigger. But as luck would have it, right now there are no sunspots on the sun whatsoever.
Wow.
And so I'm hopeful that Mercury will stand out. You know, it will be going roughly across the middle of the disk. So the midpoint time, if you were going to look for it and needed to know where to look because it's going to be tiny, Mercury will be almost in the center of the sun at 10:20 a.m. Eastern time, 7:20 a.m. Pacific time, and, you know, adjust time zones accordingly.
Okay. And meanwhile, what else are you looking forward to in the sky?
Oh, boy. So this is kind of a doldrums of the time of year for us. There's this meteor shower called the Leonids,
right,
which in the late 1990s was gangbusters, but it has dwindled to just practically nothing right now. I think the next best opportunity to see something dramatic in the sky will be November 22nd, when you can see Jupiter and Venus close together in the low in the southwest after sunset. And then the second week of December, the Geminid meteor shower, which is one of the best all-around meteor showers throughout the year.
Kelly, I just want to ask you, out of curiosity, a question that I've thought of in my life, which is, what do you think it would do to us as human beings if, let's say, Mars was so close to the Earth that you could see it every single night, bigger than the moon, right there?
Well, one of the things we would see is that, unlike the moon, Mars would show us all of its sides. We'd see the entire thing. We only see half of the moon because of a gravitational locking that's gone on. We would see that Mars, like the Earth, goes through seasons. And so if you think speculation about life on Mars has been, you know, heavy up to this point, it would be rampant. Interesting sidelight. In around 1900, the French Academy of Sciences offered a big prize, 100,000 francs, for the first person who could establish communication with aliens on another planet, except Mars, because that was considered too easy.
Too easy.
Too easy.
But we still haven't been able to do it.
No, and you know, the last time the United States sent a spacecraft to Mars to search for life was the mid-1970s. Now we've got another one waiting in the wings that will do that, being launched next year. But really, it's an open book as to whether Mars has life or ever has had life.
And right now, the probes that they send there are looking for other things, looking for water, and stuff like that.
That's right. So in the case of Curiosity, which is a rover on the surface right now, its main task is not biological, but to look for chemical changes that have occurred over Martian history. At one time, Mars was a much wetter, much more clement place with a thick atmosphere and babbling brooks, you know, and since then, it has become a deep freeze world with really inhospitable conditions. And we want to know what caused it to get from point A to point B.
That is Kelly Beatty, senior editor at Sky and Telescope. And again, you can check out Mercury crossing in front of the sun on Monday morning, East Coast time, earlier in the morning on the West Coast. Kelly, thank you.
My pleasure, Jeremy.